God bless you this morning, brethren. We're actually going to do an a cappella thing until our musos arrive. So we're going to start with that. So we'll start off with a prayer and then we'll do This Is My Desire. Eh? So if you'd just like to stand with me at this time and we'll commit our time into the Lord's ear. Gracious Lord, it's so wonderful here to be here, Lord, in 2025, Lord. You know, it's a new year. And you've granted us strength to push on through until now. And I know, Lord, that you're going to apply yourself to our revelation this year also, Lord. I know it's the beginning of 2025, but we also know, Lord, that we've got the means that we can push through this. So this morning, Lord, we're just going to sing because we love our Lord. We just want to use our voices, Lord. They're like the old time, Lord, where there was no music back in the day. In the Garden of Eden, all you could hear were the insects, Lord. The birds chirping. You know, and let us just sing, Lord. Because, Father, you've given us voices, Lord, that can carry. You've given us the gifts to create an atmosphere. We also pray, Lord, and those that are not here, that would be here otherwise, Lord, we ask that you grant them their portion this morning. We ask, Lord, that you can come. Use our voices. Use us as your vessels, Lord. Fill us with your joy. Fill us with your love. Fill us with you, Lord, as we empty out ourselves, Lord, knowing that we need to decrease so that you can increase, Lord. So this morning, Lord, we just ask, Lord, continue, Lord, to let us drink from that fountain. Continue, Lord, so that we can feed of your word. Continue, Lord, so we can fulfill that part where the carcass is, the eagles will gather. So this morning, Lord, we just ask, Lord, you take care. You take charge of the service this morning, Lord. We also praise and worship you, Lord, because of everything you've done in our hearts, Lord. It's just a happening in our souls, Lord, that you've granted us these sorts of gifts, Lord, that we can sing from our souls and know, Lord, that you'll continue, Lord, to help us add precept of precept, line upon line, or then verse upon verse, so that I know, Lord, that we can partake in all your promises. So, Lord, we give you all the praise, all the glory this morning, and we ask these things now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Ooh, you're loving this morning, brethren. Hey, we're going to do this, eh? Praise God. Going to all see how we go. Oh, this is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Oh Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. And Lord, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Oh, this is my desire. To honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you. Praise all.
adore is in you. Oh Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, and Lord, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Oh Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, and Lord, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Oh Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, and Lord, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way in me.
Praise God, amen. That's a song from the heart, amen. Hear these praises with a grateful heart, amen. Clever, right? Hopefully you guys did the end time evangelism that time we're away, amen. And we've gone amongst our whānau.
Amen.
Amen. Preach the word that the Lord's given us, amen.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
It's wonderful, eh? We've been equipped with everything.
Yes.
Amen. See, we went down to Waipu, I went down to Waipu, and my cousin passed away on Christmas Eve. Hey, so, it was just the time to shine the light. By the time I just enjoyed it so much, you know. Flash place, eh? Down in Waipu. So, yeah, it was just wonderful. So, take that opportunity while the angels stir in the water, amen.
Amen.
Represent him, amen.
Amen, brother.
Hear these praises from a grateful heart, amen. Hear these praises from a grateful heart. Each time I think of you, the praises start. I love you so much, Jesus, I love you so much. I love you and my soul sings. Oh, in your presence, carried on your wing, I love you so much, Jesus. How my soul longs for you, longs to worship you forever. In your power and majesty, I lift my head, I lift my heart.
From a grateful heart, each time I think of you, the praises that I love you so much, my Jesus, I love you so
Andrew, God bless you, brother. Good to see you. It's good to see you in this new year. Amen.
Amen.
I jumped a couple of songs. Hello out there in Zoom land if you're there. God bless you. Happy New Year. God bless you, Sister Chrissy. Good to see you, sister.
shine in the night time. Let it shine. Oh, thank you. Oh, let it shine. Shine, shine. Shine for Jesus. Oh, let it shine. Let the Lord shine through me. And if this light should shine on us, then His Spirit will surely set them free.
Let your light,
oh, let your light shine on us. Let your shine all day through. Oh, let it shine, shine for Jesus. Oh, let it shine all day through. Oh, I was walking alone in the darkness. I did not know which way to go, but then the Lord, He turned the light on. He saved my life. Yes, He saved my life, and He saved my soul. Oh, just one purpose, to let the Lord shine through me. And if this light should shine on others, then His Spirit will surely set them free.
Come on now, let your light.
Shine all day through. Oh, let it shine. Shine for Jesus. Let it shine all day through.
Hallelujah. Glory to be praised, Lord. Thank you.
Bless you, whānau. So some of you may know, if you've read your WhatsApp messages, that we took a trip to Auckland to visit with Joseph's parents because they can't travel anymore because they've just been a bit sick, so they don't drive up anymore. So he was like, we're going to Auckland. So then I was like, oh, now can we go home to see sister? And he was like, yep, we can. So we went to go and visit with Sister Christina. There she is, love you, my sister. And I just want to encourage everybody to continue on in prayer for her, that she's going to raise up, sister. You're going to raise up and you're going to walk and you're going to get out of there. I don't know when, only the Lord knows, but in his time, sister. Keep pressing on, sister.
Amen.
So, yeah, and I just want to encourage, if you can call her, visit her if you're in Auckland, whatever. Go see her, fellowship with her, because you know, that's another thing that our enemy likes to do, is isolate people and keep them away from the fellowship, because that really brings health to your bones, you know, the leaves. It waters the plant. So, yeah, just encourage you, if you're in Auckland or around the ways, go home west side so you can stop in and see our sister. I know that I have a song, and it is going to be a cappella, or you can try and go in there, I don't know. Okay. There's a light in the window, and the table spread in splendor, and someone standing by the open door, and I can see a crystal river. Oh, it must be near forever. See, I've never been this homesick before. And I see the bright light shine, and it's just about home time. And I can see my father standing at the door.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply longing just to breathe something that's all good and will bless your. Song in itself, it's not what you have required. You search much deeper within than the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. It's all about you.
Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless world, no one could express how much you deserve. And though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus.
Glory!
And it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your wonderful name, O God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we can say like David, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And the way, O God, that the great psalmist was describing these things, he was talking about, Lord, that anointing oil that ran from the top of his head all the way down to his feet. It's that anointing, oh God, that covers us. It's like another expression of the love of God being shed abroad from our hearts. And when David could worship like that with that kind of understanding, knowing it takes the Holy Spirit to be able to bring that kind of an anointing, I believe, Lord, our praise and worship was what was necessary to be able to create that atmosphere and the incense that would go from the golden altar. Oh God, it would break beyond the veil and go into your presence, Lord. And in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. And Father, we, having enjoyed just a couple of weeks of break and, Lord, change of activity, and yet, Lord, we can still come and gather those that you've gathered here this morning. We can still gather together and create an atmosphere of worship and praise. We might only have a couple of musos, but I remember that's what it was like back in the day, Lord. We'd have one musician with one guitar, and we'd just be able to sit around together, fellowship together, begin to worship God and and your presence come down in our midst. Because your word declares where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Thank you, Jesus. And I think of our brother Steen and sister Julie, Maya and Elijah. How they can be on that island of Bornholm. Lord, and truly a fulfillment of that scripture where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. The great I am, present tense word. But Father, just like David said when he was so glad to be able to come into the house. Because when we come, Lord God, we're looking for instruction. We know that in these last days we're under an eagle anointing. And that an eagle anointing has the ability to look afar off. That same anointing, oh God, that you promised that you would send us. You said it is expedient for you that I go away. And the purpose was so that you could send the comforter that would guide us into all truth. That would bring things to our remembrance. That would show us things to come. And that's what we look forward to, oh God, as we start this new year. We look forward to the word that you've placed before us. The stones, oh God, those rocks that you would illuminate to show us the way. Knowing in your word that it declares that the steps of a good man is ordered of the Lord and he delighteth in his way. I'm thankful, Lord, that the church does not have to walk blind, but we can walk in step with the great conductor. So we pray, oh God, that you would come and show us the way. I know, Lord, we can have been Christians, some of us for most of our lives. And yet, Lord, we're still reliant upon you to show us the way. I pray, Lord God, you'd be our guide this morning. If you could just, Lord, give us some blood trails that would direct our hearts, that would direct our minds, that would help us, Lord, to come into a far greater liberty in Christ, then, Lord, we'd be so happy. That would encourage us, Lord, to be able to walk by faith in all things. I'm thankful, Lord, that we can come and worship the King and hear from the great conductor himself. So, Lord, we commit all things into your hands. We just want to take this time to give you all the praise and the glory. Remembering, Lord, all of the folks that are not here with us this morning too, Lord. Just grant them the satisfying portion, we pray. For I ask these things in the wonderful and blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God bless you, saints. Praise the Lord. You can have your seats, musicians, the team. Have your seats. Thanks, brethren. God bless you, Brother Steen, Sister Julie, praise the Lord. Sister Christina, God bless you. Good to have you with us this morning, sister. Praise the Lord. Brother Blessing, Brother Calvin, I think that emoji thing is, or that photo. And just a warm welcome to us all, sister. God bless you. Yeah, Sister Roxanne's mum. I always remember the time that you welcomed us up to the marae. Yeah, that was a special time for us back then. So praise the Lord, really nice to have you with us. And of course we got our brother Andrew. You know, I got to confess, saints, because you know what made me late? And then I have to say to Teresa, slow down. Just chill, we'll make it. And you know how she's like tense because she knows that she's the muser. And it's like, but you know the reason why I was late? Trying to shave off two weeks of or beard, I look like Andrew. No, true. And it was like, oh, man. I was almost ready to come without, but I thought, you know, my conviction wouldn't let me. I don't know, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, Andrew's on holiday, right? But it's like he knows he's a service, and then he comes to service, even though, you know, for a minister, we actually look forward to a break because we don't get that. You know, it's like service, and I got to take a Vietnam meeting. That's if we got a translator, Brother Steen. I had forgotten to check with Brother Fook. So, but then just to be able to take time out to come and fellowship with us this morning, you know, I think that's a real blessing. And, you know, I can't let him get by with just sneaking into the service. And, you know, I just, it's like when Brother Freddie snuck into the service on our last one. And, you know, it's always nice because when you have fivefold ministry gifts, you always want to utilize those gifts by God's grace. You know, there could be some direction and some things that a minister can say that can help to put the pieces together. And we got to be so sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and conscious of his presence. I was thinking last night, actually, you know, as the different messages were coming in on that chat about different ones not being able to make it, they were still on holiday. Now, this is one thing that we got to realize. I wouldn't have minded having another Sunday off, you know. And we really got to coordinate that a little bit better. I think myself personally, a lot of these things were spurred a moment and a little bit of an extension. I wouldn't have minded another extension of another Sunday myself personally. Because when you get the chance to have a change of activity, because that's what rest is to me. Hey, is that the true definition of rest? Is a change of activity and an opportunity to chill. At the same time, I know that, you know, we love to get into the house of the Lord and worship the Lord. You begin to miss that. But it's been a long year. It's been quite a rugged year for me. I would never be able to count the amount of services that I preached back over the last year. You know, when you're averaging 4 services a week, that adds up. And just to be able to, so this is why I'm saying if we could coordinate that a little bit better, because that's why I mentioned those dates. And then when I looked around and everybody was sort of in the same channel, yeah, we'll come back Sunday the 5th. Then that's all good. What about you, Bolas? Would you have enjoyed another Sunday off? Give me a look at your hands. I see Sister Naomi and he's shaking her head. Nah, I want to get to church. Hey, I want to get to fellowship. Brother Steen and Sister Julie is the same. Hey, sister, because it's like almost like silly season. You know why we take a break? So I can have a break. That's why we take a break. Isn't that right, Andrew? Hey, so we can take a break. So I'm just going to take that little opportunity to get our brother Andrew to come up and just bring a greeting and, you know, and a waiata and you know, Andrew, you can't sneak in here and think that you're going to be able to get away with not coming up and greeting the folks. In fact, I was actually trying to get him to preach when we were last out on the water. And I'm saying, Andrew, man, Sunday service, what about come up take the meeting. He said, no, I'm on holiday. Well, we'll get by with a greeting, eh? Go on, Andrew. Go and greet the folks. And Brother Andrew's no stranger to us. Good friend for many, many years, eh? Look at him, rough as guts, I tell you.
I think he had a great inspiration. But yeah, I got this morning. Everyone's asleep, the wife's asleep, the family, all the grandchildren. So, you know, it's good to be here, to come here, and a nice quiet drive on the road, and come to a little church. I know there's not many big boys. None of that. My church is empty. Well, we got 2 weeks off too, but it's nice to come, amen. Good amen. To see everyone, amen. Good to see people. The church is still going strong. Good to see Brother Malcolm, amen. I don't have much to say because look at me. I'm just, you know, there's no clothes. I don't have any clothes. I've got to throw a shirt on, throw a chair. And Sister Teresa's looking at me like a little bit. What are you doing up here?
She's going but,
you
like
know,
this.
It's nice
look.
To be here. Amen. God bless you, Brother Malcolm. Bless you, Brother.
Thanks, Brother Andrew. You know, it's this is what I mean, hey. It's like when you get in that holiday mode, and like you said, and Peter says, "I go a fishing." That's it. You're just moving down and into that channel. But I thought to myself, you know, that I was thinking about what we'd be looking at for direction today, and. You know, even while I was waiting on the Lord last night, and you can't help but you formulate things. I'm a forager. Hey, I'm a provider. That's from the ngahere or the moana. Naturally, I mean, most of the activity functioning around our home is to do with foraging and gathering food. We have a production line where the whole generations are involved. Eh? The mokos are involved. Everybody knows their part. We're like a well-oiled machine. If we go out on the moana, then it's cleaning everything time. No matter what time we get back in, it's clean up time, it's clean the boat, it's clean the kai, it's getting everything ready. So if you're that way naturally, I'm that way spiritually too, and you're always looking for just little clues in the direction that the Lord would have you to go. And what I thought about, you know, I had one of these saints from Trinidad contact me and ask me, can you remember the last message that you preached in the cyber fellowship? And you know, that's going back maybe a couple of years ago, eh? And I actually couldn't remember it. I said, was it the doors of utterance? That's what I thought it was. The doors of utterance, opening the doors of utterance to preach the mysteries of God. And it wasn't. It was perfect love, brings perfect faith and perfect gifts. And I thought that sounds like a good title to start the year with. So the title this morning, and I don't know how we're going to shuffle around it, and I don't want to keep you too long today, but I thought once again, perfect love, because that was one of the highlights of last year. a revival of love. Perfect love brings perfect faith and perfect gifts. So I wanted to not so much revisit it. I wanted to bring a vision from the Word and how to fulfill these things. You know, when, for an example, when I'm down in the mudder, and anybody that's drove past my place, they can know and see it's that mudder is pretty big. And it's almost like any spare time that I get, if you let the weeds get away, they'll get away. And you learn a lot of things. You learn about companion planting. You learn what plants to plant next to the other plants, because there's a unity in the ecosystem. There's certain plants that keep bugs away from some of the other trees. Some of those cabbages and broccoli, for an example, they are like a magnet for different types of butterflies and slugs. And I don't want to use like man's systems to disperse those things and pollute my kai. So I want to find a way that God would do that. How would he bring members of a body together to protect one another from all of these different things? And this is why I say one of the greatest things that we can have is the love of God. But I think sometimes it's like, because if that love of God is in you, it means he's in you. That means that we can love one another. That means we can have fellowship with one another. And my definition of what we are here to achieve for 2025, for me, is to come into the true fulfillment of Māori. Not Māori. Hey? Not Māori, but Māori. Which is a person that is one with their economy and one with their God. In other words, there's a perfect balance in their lives. Are you hearing me, saints? Would that be what it was like? Because if we're talking about perfect faith, we're talking about back to Edenic conditions. Back to Eden again. And was Adam and Eve in perfect harmony with their economy? They had full dominion over all things. Now that's where I believe, if we've got perfect love and perfect faith, then the gifts would operate perfectly too. Because could Adam gather together in the cool of the evening? Saints, it was karakia every day. It was worship in the morning. You don't have to put on certain clothes to worship God. Hey, you don't have to put on a flash suit and a flash shirt and a flash tie to worship God. It's not the clothes we wear. It's who's in the heart. And they would gather together in the cool of the evening, saints, to worship God. They had certain birds, remember, that would worship in the morning. How many of you are morning birds? Hey, there's a few morning birds, but there's some that are lunchtime birds or 10 o'clock in the morning birds. But all of these to me are tiers of worship. Some are not morning people, but some are night owls. Some are more porks. Hey, that don't see their bed until after midnight. That's when they thrive. But what have you got? You've got a whole tier of worship throughout the day, throughout the night. Worship is because of the way that God has made you and I. And sometimes those habits change. Because I think, myself personally, the older you get, the less sleep you need. I don't know. Hey? But this is the thing, is like if we're talking about perfect faith, we have to see the example in the Word. And Adam had it. So for me, a part of the vision and the achievement for the year is coming into that condition of a perfect balance in all things. And then we've got to consider, how can we do that when we are in Revelation 18 condition? Let's turn to that scripture. I wasn't going to go there, but since I said it, we'll look at that. Have I read a scripture yet? Oh, well, we'll kick off the year with that one. Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils. We're talking about mystery Babylon here. We're talking about the world cosmos, the world systems is mystery Babylon. And this mighty angel is crying with a strong voice, saying Babylon is fallen. Now this is what I say, saints, when you look at this world system today, the educational system is failing. The health system is failing. The governmental departments are failing. Because the system is based on fear, not faith. You know why I know it's based on fear? You get a $30 traffic infringement because you were, I forget what it is now. Is it 10 Ks over and then you get a $30 fine? Hey? $30 fine. I know it because that mongrel thing snapped us going home from church. And it must have been 10K over or something. But, you know, you're at night time, you're just cruising along. That don't excuse it, but I'm just saying. And that thing snaps you. And then you got a $30 fine. And then they work on fear to get that fine off you. Because if you don't pay that fine, I think it's something like $100 or something is added to it. Is it 100? I can't remember. It's been so long ago since I got one. No. But what is it based on? And then it says in that notice that they send out to you that you could be liable, an arrest warrant could be put out for you. Ah, yeah, right. What is it based on? Fear. The whole thing is based on fear. And many people are pressurized by fear. Now, fear negates your faith. So that's what I'm saying. This mystery Babylon is built on fear, But this mighty angel was crying out that Babylon is fallen. But who can see, who can tell that the system is fallen? The word is revealing these things. Because the Bible says it's become the habitation of devils. Now this is the sad part, saints, because we got to raise our mokos in this. And look at all of the distractions that there is in Mystery Babylon, because it has become a habitation of devils. And the hold, a hold is a cage. A cage of every foul spirit, of every unclean and hateful bird. In other words, the system is run by demon power. 200 million devils set loose from the river Euphrates. Hell has come upon the earth. And it has a way of affecting perfect faith. It has a way of distracting you. It has a way of putting your focus on what you shall eat and what you shall drink and what you shall put on. Your food, your clothing, your housing, your paying the bills, which Jesus called temporal things. But he said to us, seek ye first. Now this is one of the clues on how to break into a faith civilization. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things I will add unto you. Because it takes faith. It takes the ability to walk by faith to be able to live by faith. Now, I was thinking about these things, and I was thinking, well, there is degrees of faith. There's levels of faith. And some are on different levels, but what I would want to hope that we achieve is that we come into a condition, and I was saying this at the beginning of last year, that we raised up into a rapturing faith condition. Now, you cannot raise up into rapturing faith without perfect love. And then we know that perfect love casts out all fear. Now, let me just go back into that scripture. I'll finish this one first. Verse 3, Revelation 18, verse 3, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of their fornication. All nations. Now, how are they deceived? Revelation 18, verse 23, they were deceived by the merchants. Is that right? For the merchants, it says, are the great men of the earth. And by their sorceries, and sorceries is what? Pharmakia. By their pharmaceuticals were all nations deceived. So it's not the prime ministers, it's not the presidents, it's not the kings, it's the merchants that are the great men of the earth. And the way that the merchants, through the anointing of the black horse, you see, brethren, we have got to find the ability to break free from a financial system that is not designed to set the captives free. It's a system that's designed to keep the people in bondage. A mortgage is designed to keep you in bondage for most of your life. Whoo! Because we all thought we were clever when we took out that 30-year mortgage. And how many times did you pay for your house?
Three
times. Look at that. You paid for it three times over. Because that merchant wanted to tie you to the system and then tie you to an electricity bill. It becomes a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. It locks you in a prison. And it's not designed to set the captives free. So all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of their fornication. All nations have been made drunk by the power of filthy lucre. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. In other words, of all her trading commodities. What did we find out in, I think it's around about verse 13 or 14, Revelations 18, 13 to 14, that they're trading in body parts. Is that right? I think the Bible calls it slaves, which is bodies. And then the next part is the souls of men. If you have a look at the word slaves, it means bodies. You know, that's one of the greatest, biggest industries today is the trading in body parts. And doesn't that show us these things in Joel chapter 3? I think it's Joel 3 of around about verse 3. It talks about, not only does it speak about human trafficking and child prostitution, but the trading in body parts. Body parts are a commodity. Because what? Everybody wants to extend their lifespan by getting another kidney, by getting another heart, but they've got to find a donor to get one. Now look at the amount of donors that you got from the war in the Ukraine. Hey? You got over 1 million donors just from Ukraine itself. Harvesting of body parts. Causing the merchants, causing catastrophes. You see why it is? They've pumped out a war machine. They've run out of soldiers, so they dropped the age of the soldiers so they can include the 18s to 25s. And they're sending these young fellas into the war front because they need a new army. The first one's been wiped out. Why isn't there peace after this long? The merchants. Now you see that clearly on that level, but what about seeing it clearly how they put you into debt traps? Look at our koi. The best koi is the most expensive koi. Your rubbish koi is the cheapest. That's why everybody loves fish and chips, not fish. Actually, it's probably shark. Hey? Dogfish, lemonfish, just for a fancy name. Come on. Follow. Where were we? Trees and Kaiwaka. She knows I like a good feed of seafood or fish or something when I've come back from overseas. And we called into that, was it Long John Silver? Called into that. And he sold this fish to her as if it was a snapper, eh? Or hapuka, or was it turkey? Turkey. And I love turkey. And as soon as we're fish connoisseurs. You can't marinate something and we are going to get sucked into it. If I wasn't already down in Te Hana, I think it was just about in Kaiwaka, I would have turned around and took this fish back because, you know, it wasn't what they were advertising. That was, I said to her, that's a shark or lemon fish, if they want to call it. I said, nah, let's go back, because they charge you for taraki. And then it was like, nah, I just come off the plane. I ain't going to go back there to argue with this guy and get my money back. But my point is, look at how that black horse can affect you and I. The good kai is expensive. Now, this is why, this is one of the reasons, saints, this is one of the practical parts of being able to get back into the mara, to grow our own kai. That's why we got that greenhouse out here, to regain those life skills of practical living. And we might say, ah, it's cheaper to go to Pack and Save. And you could be right. But what about the valuable lessons that you learn? Some of the basics that you go back to. Some of the qualities that you begin to understand. And how sweet that kai tastes. What do they call it? What do they call it when it's got no chemicals in it? They got a fancy name for it, but you know why they have the fancy name? So they can charge you more. Isn't that what it's all about, saints? They call it organic, so they can charge you more. But why I'm saying this is right down in all of these facets of life, we are being affected. And you know what happens with hybrid food. Is that why the Ward 6 is filling up and overflowing on the streets and the system don't know what to do with it? Are you hearing me? Because some of these things are breaking down mental faculties. This is another part. This is why Mystery Babylon is the way that it is. So, and this is why for me, you know, before I can preach about perfect love, I got to have it. Before I can preach about perfect faith, I got to have it. What I'm looking at is actually the ability to, even though we're in Mystery Babylon, and even though the cry of the angel was, come out of her, my people, we still have to live in the system, but don't be a part of the system. Now, what's our, anybody remember where our pattern in the scripture for that would be? Anybody think about that? Say again. Joseph can be a part of it, but it's more Egypt and Goshen. Wouldn't that be a better type? Because in Goshen, all of the plagues, all of the judgments of God was falling on Egypt. But what does it say in Revelation chapter 6 when we're speaking about the black horse? A measure of wheat for a penny. 3 measures of barley for a penny. The voice from within the veil was setting the measure, the amount, and the price. And that voice was the Lord. But then he said, but see thou what? Hurt not the oil and the wine. Because these judgments were not for you and I. These judgments was for those that were in and a part of the system. So Goshen, they were in the system. The plagues were falling. But in Goshen, they were safe. In Goshen, they didn't have the frogs. In Goshen, they didn't have the flies. Because in Goshen, it's speaking about a supernatural economy. That's an economy by faith. Now, we used 2024 to show what perfect love was all about. And one of the main ingredients of perfect love is sacrificial love. God so loved that he gave. Sacrificial love was what he displayed for us at Calvary. Sacrificial love breaks political power. It breaks religious power. Now that's what I want, is a people that are free from politics. I'm not talking about Luxton politics. Hey? Are you hearing me? I'm not talking about, you know, Seymour politics. I'm talking about being free from politics in the church. Come on, saints. Hey? Free from little political games with wrong motives and wrong objectives, because we lack the mind of Christ. Free from politics in the prayer meeting, where somebody is praying because they want somebody to hear their opinion. That was what was happening in primary school church. I'm talking about free from that kind of politics, where your heart is filled with the love of God. Free from false religion. Glory, because false religion was your white horse. That false religion was bringing deceit. That false religion was bringing people into bondage. That false religion was bringing legality into the church. So everybody would frown when Brother Andrew walked in with 2 years of not shaving. Like I said right from the start, it's not what's on the outside, it's what on the inside counts. See, this is what I want this church to be free from. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. A freedom to be able to worship the Lord. A freedom to be able to be what God has made you to be. Because remember, perfect love brings perfect faith and perfect gifts. But start with love first. Is that what the prophet said? Start with love first. Because love creates fellowship. You know, brethren, then your motives are pure. Your objectives are pure. You're not trying to change somebody by, you know, throwing your missile of prayer from one side of the church to the other. Boom! Trying to smite them in the heart. This person needs this. You know what you do? You change the atmosphere in you first. Make sure you got the right motive. Make sure you got the right objective. Make sure you are led by the Holy Ghost. That's what I want the free church to be free from. Free from politics. Free from religion. Glory. Free from the effects of the pale horse rider whose name is death, and all of hell is following him. Because what this man of God in Revelation chapter 18 verse 4 was crying out was, come out of her, my people. Is that right? Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins and that you receive not of her plagues. In other words, come out of the system. Now, how do we do that? By perfect faith. Woo! This is what I want us to be able to look into and understand, study. Because I'm preparing for the rapture, but I still got to plant my piripiri. Hey? I still got to put my kumara tupu into the ground. Hey, I still look to plant so that there is enough in the storehouse. Come on, saints. And then I got to utilize the gifts in the body to be able to fulfill that. Now, trees might not be my greatest companion when it comes to weeding the mara. Hey? Or my mokos may not be the greatest when it comes to weeding the, you know, keeping those devils at bay. But when I've brought home a crop, I want her to maximize the use of that crop. So I showed up with a quad full of look, she had that right on the tip of her tongue. I had a quad load of cabbages, right? And it's like, hey, what are you going to do with these? And then all of a sudden, those pots were clanging. Not because she was angry. You know, that's when the pots clang, eh? When they get a little bit angry. And then because that skill needed to be refined again, she called in a helper, another member of the body, to come and put the shoulder to the plow so that we can turn that cabbage into pickle. So we can store up meal for the storehouse, because your natural types, your spiritual saints. Glory. And some of them were going to be frozen, but once you get under that anointing, hey, you're gonna work until it's done. You're going to accomplish the purpose. Now, what it means, saints, it just takes a little bit longer than zapping down to pack and save. But what about when you taste that kai, when you enjoy that kai, when you know how it was produced, when you put that on the table and it's made just to your taste? Like, you all know I like it hot. Sister Tucker had a spoonful of that and she had to exit to the kitchen to get some yogurt and whatever. And I'm tasting it and I'm saying, man, not enough. But then I got to use wisdom. I can't just make this for me. Hey, that would be selfish of me, eh? Because I would have nuked that with another couple of packets. But you got to have a little bit of wisdom. You've got to be able to know, well, you know, that stash would last me for quite a while if I'm going to be enjoying it on my lonesome. But kai is not for you to enjoy on your lonesome. You know, like that, what's that, chocolate trees? What's that one, Sister Jody? It was in that Makana. That Makana, eh? I was saving my Makana in my fridge for a special occasion. And my girls see it. Oh, this was here before Christmas. Eh? And they come and tax my Makana. My goodness, man. I don't know how many there was, but I think half of that thing was stolen. And that's what I say, stolen. Hey, but you see the principles I'm trying to lay down here, because what I'm talking about is, what does it take to come into perfect faith? Does that mean you're going to have to work a little bit harder? And did work ever do you any harm? Yeah, yeah. If you're doing it sudden, Hey, if you're trying to run a marathon before you can walk. See, this is the thing. There must be practical ways for us to be able to fulfill what the angel was saying and come out of her, my people. Because what I want to achieve, ideally for 2025, is what's another word for sovereignty? Self-sufficiency. Sustainability, self-sufficiency. So I can loosen the tentacles of Mystery Babylon and the control that it has over me. That's what I want to be able to achieve for 2025. You know, the grind of the, well, it used to be 9 to 5. It's not 9 to 5 anymore. It's 7 to 7. It's make more bricks. It's make more bricks without straw. Hey? That system gets you so tied up that you're not free to worship God. And that's what was happening back in Egypt. Now the call was made, come out of her, my people. And what was God wanting to do? Take them from Egypt and place them in their inheritance. So they could bring forth from their inheritance. What's your inheritance? Theirs was a natural land. Ours is a spiritual land. Bring forth from your inheritance. Bring forth from the resources that God has placed within you. And then what have you got? Brethren, you've got so you can give. Now I tell you, if I've got something, you've got it too. If I got fish, you got fish too. If I got craze, you got craze too. Come on, saints. If I got kinna, how many times have I turned up to church with a big, huge blue chili bin? And even supply the bags for you to take home a koi. But I've got to be able to bring forth from my inheritance. Now that's naturally. What about spiritually? Because you can't come to church relying on the pastor's revelation. You can't come to church just to be able to draw from my sacrifice and go home and feel full and praise the Lord. No, you've got to bring. You've got to work in your inheritance so everybody can take from the tree, because freely you have received, so freely you give. That's how, saints, we break free from these realms. This is how we soar up into the heavenlies. Even though you might have debt, even though you might have bills, didn't the prophet have bills? Wasn't he in debt that was bogging him down? And then the angel of the Lord came. And then a simple remedy, freedom from the black horse. It was supernatural. It was by faith. But this system, you got to work longer. You got to work harder. You got to have not just one job. You got to have 2 or 3 jobs. This system is designed for husband, wife, and children to have to work so you can pay their, what do you call those, subscriptions for your electricity, for your fuel bill. How many would love to get back to horse and buggy? What about how many want to get back to the old dinghy with the oars? Nah, not me. But what I'm talking about, saints, How do we break into Philip Transport? How do we break into that supernatural economy? Because here's Philip preaching in a convention, and then there's that eunuch that's reading about the book of Isaiah, and he needs a kinsman to be able to show him the mystery of redemption so he can have an understanding of what he's reading. And all of a sudden, Philip is sprinting alongside the chariot. What readest thou? Where did he come from? How did he get there? Is it possible by perfect place to break into those realms to be able to fulfill these things? Now, I don't believe I've got to tell you about perfect loaf. The whole year was about perfect loaf. But I think we need to have a little bit of a focus on perfect faith. Or what it takes to be able to walk into that realm. Just a couple of practical things I want to have a look at while we're here. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him." You see, this is a key, is God in us. God in us is love in us. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Are we living in that day? That we might have boldness. And another expression of that boldness is perfect faith. Because you catch the vision of the word. You see what's happening around you. You understand spiritual things. And you've got boldness to ask what you will. Because as he is, so are we in the world. As he is, so are we in this world. So we're still in Mystery Babylon, but we've come out of Mystery Babylon. We're in a Laodicean church age, but we've come out of Laodicea. Brethren, I am not cold and I'm not lukewarm. My walk with the Lord is hot, not lukewarm. So I've come out of lukewarm condition. You see what I mean, saints? There is no fear in love. So actually what the tax man is trying to do with a $30 fine, and all of a sudden, a couple of months later, it's $230. And it's going to increase by $130 every month if you don't pay it. It's fear. But then we've got to balance it with obey the laws of the land. Is that what Jesus was teaching? And then Jesus taught us how to balance that when he said to us, "Render unto Caesar what's Caesar's and unto God what's God's." Because how did he come to that conclusion? He says to those followers, "Give me a coin." He says, "Whose inscriptions is this?" It was Caesar on the coin. He said, "Caesar's." He says, "Then render unto Caesar what's Caesar's and unto God what's God's." And this is how sometimes we come into conflict. Because we can be saying, "Stuff the system." But yet scripture says, and then perfect faith will show us. You know, there's some things, for an example, that I can't do on the water that others can do because of conviction, because of kaitiakitanga, because we are guardians of the resource. I take that seriously. Come on, saints. Now I could lean things over a certain way under he whakaputanga. Because we didn't cede our sovereignty of our resources, right? But actually my he whakaputanga is not just a declaration that was made in 1835. The dialect, the declaration that was made was between Genesis and Revelation. That's my he whakaputanga. Come on, saints. That's my perfect balance in all of these things. And you need the Holy Ghost to be able to do that. To have a perfect balance. To have a perfect faith. Whoo! There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear hath torment. Fear starts a battle in the mind. Fear is there to negate your perfect faith. But you have to have love first. You say, no, 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 no. We start from a foundation of faith and then we go to perfect love. I reckon get love first. Because faith started you in the journey, but perfect love is the capstone of the journey, and now you can be a benefit to others. Now you will automatically work in your inheritance to bring forth so others can eat from the tree and live. And then your ability to give is far greater because you're actually producing from your spiritual mother to be able to give for the people. That's what it's all about, saints. What is it? Sacrificial love. Now listen to what the prophet was saying in the way to have fellowship. I'd rather have a church, listen just a moment, I would rather have a church that knows nothing about any spiritual gift and just be so in love with each other and with Christ. I'd rather have that than every spiritual gift operating in the church. Now that might sound hard in a Pentecostal group, but I would rather have it. Where there is gifts, they'll fail. Hey? Sure. How many times has a dream went sideways? How many times when there was a tongue and an interpretation and didn't come to pass? What should have happened to those people? Brought to the front of the church, have hands laid on them to cast out that lying spirit. Hey? Because false prophecy in the Old Testament was death. Where there's gifts, they'll fail. Where there is gifts, they'll bring confusion. Where there is gifts, they can be questioned, but where there is love, it is perfect. That's right. And if you had perfect love, you'd have perfect gifts. If you had perfect love, you would have perfect gifts. That's right, so work first with love. That's what we need, saints. We need the love of God in our lives. Not man's love, not human's love. You know what filial love can do? Somebody insults your wife, and your love for your wife, you go, boom, lay hands on him. And that's not to cast out a devil. Hey, that's filial love. What would divine love do? This is what was cracking me up about Eli when that fellow was coming on the heavy to one of his workmates. Hey? And at that petrol station. And the fella's arced up for some reason. There's an atmosphere around him. Big fella. And he's thinking that this this one of Eli's workmates has insulted him. And you know what it's like when a big Māori fellow thinks he's being insulted. They come out with 4x2s under their arms, eh? And they got the, what you say? What you looking at? Anything to spark something up. What did that bring to Eli's workmate? Fear. And what does it bring to Eli? Hey? Now he's got to create an atmosphere. And then walking up to this big fella without fear and giving him a hug. Hey! Did it diffuse the situation? It caused that big fella with 4x2s under his arms, tears running out of his eyes after he got a hug. When love projects. See, to me, that's a key. And then you know whether you got it when you're in a situation like that. Oh, my. This weight is to prove the love of God in your heart. Where there is love, it is perfect. That's right. If you had perfect love, you would have perfect gifts. That's right. So work first with love. That brings fellowship. And fellowship brings gifts. So it's not just perfect love, but it's fellowship and perfect love that puts those gifts into a place where they appreciate being operated. That's what rangatahi need. Perfect love. So that the resources within them can be activated. And so that the fellowship that we can have brings those gifts forth. What an easy remedy that is. Now the reason, why is it that people perhaps like different things, like fellowship, is because first man was made to fellowship. Hey? Well, some of you fellas, mate, you can't even get an emoji on the chat from some of you fellas. Hey, and then I've got to provoke you to good works. You know we should put a ban on emojis? Thumbs up. I send a message to Andrew. All he gives me is a thumbs up. Hey? And then he would say, nah, you have to read between the lines. Hey? Because perfect love reads between the lines. I'm trying to get where we're going, when we're doing it. When are you coming? Hey? And then half hour silence. But that's male. How do we liberate the corridor from within? Hey, sisters, wouldn't you prefer a conversation rather than a grunt? Don't let me hear an amen there, Trees. Listen to this. Now, under pressure situation, listen to this. Now, just think of tonight. As much as I long to go hunting and fishing in the outdoors, yet my heart is more hungry to get on top of that mountain and talk to God than anything I know of. So even though we love hunting and fishing, you know, we come to a place where his desire was more to get away from people so he can be alone with the Lord. That's what I call a change of activity. He said, I want to be alone. I want to know there's nobody 100 miles from me. And I love people. But the only way I can minister to people is to first get the message from God. And that's why sometimes you need to be alone. That's why sometimes when I'm getting grumpy, trees will tell me, take the dogs for a walk, girl. Hey, it's time for me to go out and be alone with God. And then that's what cultivates a true fellowship. Now, one more scripture, Matthew chapter 14. I'm just going to use this as an example of how the Lord was teaching the disciples to come into perfect faith. Matthew 14, we'll start from verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. Do you know what? The Lord hadn't finished his sermon yet. Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. Now look at this. He's wanting them to raise up into an economy by faith. So the trustees in the church, they gather all the kai that is available. And what was there? 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now how's that going to feed the convention? Now, isn't he teaching them how to come into perfect faith? It's a practical thing, brethren. He's using natural kai to sow supernatural principles. They said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them hither to me. You know, brethren, you love me teaching about 7 seals and 7 trumpets and 7 vials, and you think that that's the deeper things. This is the deeper things. This is being able to apply the word in everyday life. This is coming into faith. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Now, I want you to notice something here, saints. Jesus didn't break all of the bread. He gave to the disciples and they broke the bread and gave to the people. So they come under the inspiration. They come under the anointing that the word was bringing them into. They came into a supernatural experience. My goodness. And it was more than just a net full. How many fish was in that net? Anybody remember? Hey? 133. It was more than that to feed. How many people was there? Look at the amount of people, and they got to feed all of those. And look at how simple it was to break into an economy by faith. Look at how simple. He's trying to show you how simple that is. Because perfect love and perfect faith multiplied the bread and the fish. Is that spiritual multiplication? Watch it again. He got the people to sit on the grass, took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, looked up to heaven. He didn't preach a long sermon, just looked up to heaven. He blessed and broke and gave the loaves to disciples and the disciples to the multitude. They did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. Now what's he done? First, he's opened to them an economy by faith. First, he showed us how perfect faith operates. One aspect of it. Then after he's done that, he still sends the multitude away. When he sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And that's what I was saying earlier. Sometimes a man who is seeking God's mind for a message has got to be alone with God. But he's also constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So he's already sent the disciples, right? Did he look at the forecast? No, he's wanting them to come into faith. So he's gone away into the mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Anybody that's been on the water, if the wind is contrary, it's coming against the tide. Now you can go out into the Hokianga Harbour. That's a good way to experience this. And the tide is going out of the harbour and the wind is going into the harbour and you got to cross the bar. We did that with about 5 metre swells, but it's like a washing machine. Because the window was to be shrew the bar by 2 in the arvo. And we're thinking, nah, nah, nah. Yeah, nah, 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 all right. Nah, 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 we just have one more dive. 5 metre swells coming at you, one after another, and then the sea is like a washing machine. And it's just tossing every which way. Now, you can't have fear in a situation like that. You got to have faith. But what was happening with the disciples in the ship? Fear came upon them. And fear is the realms of the unknown. Fear affects the mind. Perfect love casts out all fear. So now the ship was in the midst of the sea. So they're right in the middle between land and sea and then the land on the other side. Tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch. Now the fourth watch is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Now that's not the best time to be on the water. In a storm. And Jesus sent them there in those conditions. Come on. The guide sent them into the conditions. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. So not only is the waves buffeting the ship, and these are seasoned fishermen, and they're scared for their lives. But Jesus is trying to take the fear out of them through practical everyday life. They see him coming now. They're already in an atmosphere of fear. Now look what fear does. Jesus is walking to them. The Savior is coming to them. And they see him and they get more afraid. You got to get out of that atmosphere of fear. You've got to come into the economy by faith. And watch how Jesus does it. Brings them from fear to faith. Because they're crying out, "It's a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straight away Jesus spake unto them saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Now, they're still a little bit suspect. And Peter answered him, said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And what's Jesus doing? He's set up the perfect scene to help Peter to break into the supernatural part of his ministry. Because you ain't going to be able to walk on water with fear. You can't break into that supernatural realm with fear. And so when he heard Jesus say to him to come, now he's got to break into the supernatural part. Jesus knows how to train the disciples. How to come not into the natural part of your ministry, but into the supernatural part of your ministry. He ordained the storm to test their faith. He ordained the storm to raise them up into a higher realm of faith. And when Peter begins to walk, he come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. As long as he kept his eyes on the word, he was safe. He was walking by faith. But when he saw the wind, when he looked at the circumstances, what happened? Fear rose again. So look at how easily this terrestrial body can be tossed from fear to faith, from fear to faith. But how do we keep the balance? Does the big power bill bring fear? Hey? It does sometimes. Does the taxing of the economy? What about when the wagon needs extra work? Replace the clutch, the brakes. And then have to miss the prayer meeting. Oh, God will understand. Come on, saints. Or it puts a pinch on the offering. Because what is offerings designed for? God don't want your money. He wants your faith. He wants to be able to provide for you. He wants to show you that if you would, according to Malachi chapter 3, if you would bring into the storehouse, you will need a storehouse for all the blessings that I will pour onto you, because now you are living by faith. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You know what makes me hoo-ha? Is when I see ministers sucking the blood of the people for their own benefits. Those are vultures. That's not ministers. Hey, I'd rather work with my hands, get dirt under my nails, than try to suck from the people. If anybody sees a ministry as a meal ticket, kick him out. That's not the right motive. That's not the right objective. That's not the right vision. Because that will seep out into the people as well. But perfect love, that's your ingredient. You know, you can't manufacture love. You gotta have it. A true pastor has a pastor's heart. You can't manufacture that. You don't get that by training in some ministerial school of the prophets. You gotta be born with it. Amen. And then you liberate the resource for the edification of the body. So what was happening? When he got afraid, he began to sink. And he cried saying, Lord, save me. Because this is a walk by faith. I'm talking about how we go from faith to perfect faith. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith. And this is Peter, one of the head honchos. He says, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why did you doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. The lesson was done. The practical lesson was over. And now they could look and see, man, I should have just had faith. I should have calmed the storm myself. Why ring the panic button? 0274996598. Hey, what does that song say? Disconnect the panic button. Access the resource. Break into the power of prayer yourself. Glory. Now that's why I was saying earlier, saints, there's degrees of faith. And some of you have got faith to be able to pray for your children and they get well. But you haven't got faith to be able to come to the front and pray for somebody that's sick. That's another level of faith. And we might be able to call it measures of the gift. There's a measure of the gift of faith in Romans chapter 12, I think it's around about verse 3, right? Measures of the gift of faith. But those that know their God intimately shall do exploits, can raise above that. Now, this touched me, this quote from blind Bartimaeus. You're a wonderful set of people. I don't believe you can find any more faith, is what I mean, as what we would call, I'll explain it tomorrow, the levels of faith. So even here, look at these levels of faith, because I want you to understand what level of faith you have and how you raise up to perfect faith. See, what human faith is, because I think that's what we start with, human faith. Oh, now the word says this, I believe it. But that doesn't activate the promise, human faith. I'm wanting you to understand the levels of faith. One is human faith, and what divine faith is. That's the love of God and the faith that is in you because He's in you. So we'll be looking at some of these things as we're going through. Human faith. And human faith is, man, I hope it works. Divine faith, you asked, that's it, finished, it's done. But you asked in His will. You asked with the right motive and with the right objective, and you saw the supernatural being fulfilled. And that stimulated your faith. So this is what I want us to be able to look at, is human faith and what is divine faith. Because divine faith goes hand in hand with divine love. But humanly speaking, you're one of the finest audiences as I ever spoke to. That's right. If you could only break through that little crust there. Now, that's what he called the difference between human faith and divine faith. He says, just break through that little crust there. Now, I don't know about you, but I enjoy the crust. Hey? Who gets that fresh baked bread and takes the crust off and baptizes it with butter, hey, and then put some of that honey on it, that manuka honey, oh man, hey, what do you think, sister? Ooh, I was trying to tell Andrew about that manuka honey. My goodness, this is the barter process that we want to come into. This is how we want to alleviate, and it doesn't matter if the kids want jam, hey. Jam or Nutella or peanut butter. Eli's the culprit for the peanut butter. He comes into my house. What does he look for? Peanut butter. but manuka honey, bush mix. You see, a part of what I'm trying to set up is a barter system. A system without money and without price. A system where we can produce our own meat. A system where we can go into pack and save. Pack and save in the Moana. Pack and save in the Ngāhere. And it might mean that our appetites have to change. But I'd rather have tāwhara. Anybody remember what that is? Where you tie those there's a certain sort of vine that grows in the bush and you tie it so the rats can't get at it. And then when it comes out, it's like a pineapple honey. But you almost forget the art. You can't buy that from any shop. It's a plant that my brother gave me, not a herb plant, because he's still planting those ones. But and this plant grows little tubers, and you just get underneath the roots, you manipulate, you pull one off, and that one is so sweet. So does that replace Cadbury's? Hey? Because remember what I'm trying to say is how we break through the little crust there. And that's all it is, saints. How do we break through to get at the goodies inside? How do you get to the banana? Just peel the crust. Now watch how this is said. If you could only break through that little crust there, it just divides right there. Just a little ravel. If you could just go over it. And that's from human faith into divine faith. And then ask what you will. He said, you'll go from the tributary out into the ocean. Now, the tributary is a little channel of water that if you go through the tributary, you come out into a massive resource. That's how he's likening it to. You go from a humanistic faith into divine faith. Look what you got access to. He says, you know what I mean? Just believe. Just don't try to make it so orthodox. So religious. Oh, I gotta get there. I gotta get on my knees. I gotta pray like this. Come on. Be who God designed you to be to break into the realms of faith. What all you have to do. And what all? No, just be like a little girl, a little boy that's reaching up to daddy's hand to get the lollipop. Look at how simple that is. Just like a little child, he says, reaching up because here's dad with the lollipop. Here, come and get it. And that young one just goes in there. They can already taste it. And they reach out and grab a hold of that lollipop. Take it by faith. Well, he's saying, do it like that. Just reach out and take it. Break through the crust. That's reaching up to daddy's hand to get the lollipop. He said, here, son, this is yours. Well, that's what the Bible said to us. Here, son, here, daughters, it's yours. Just take it. Just like that, believe it, it will happen. But how do we shake loose from the tentacles of mystery Babylon to live by faith? And this is what I'm wanting to really establish. I'm wanting to break into those realms for 2025. I'm wanting to come to a place where the members of the body effectually working together, can have every need supplied supernaturally. And it's an economy that we have to start with love first. Let me just read one more quote and then we'll close. In a message, be not afraid. That devil was coming to those disciples because he saw them without Jesus. Is that when he comes? Is that when the devil comes? When he sees them without Jesus. Why would we leave home without him? Is it because we're going to a tutu place that he's not welcome? I tell you, if I go into a place and he's not welcome, that means I ain't welcome. Sometimes you go on to a marae where Jesus is not welcome. And they can give me a porphyry, but if Jesus is not welcome, I don't feel welcome. Amen. But was Jesus welcome in Simon's house? But he went and sat in Simon's house. And what did he do in Simon's house? He sat there. Because he didn't go to Simon's house for Simon. He sat there in Simon's house with dirty feet, unwashed, no kiss, no porphyry, just sat there. Why did he sit there? Because there was a woman there that had a resource within her. Glory! And while he was sitting there, she had this desire. She went in, took her ill-gotten gains. She bought that precious ointment. She came to him because Jesus needed a service to be done. That's why he was sitting in Simon's house because he wanted to activate a soul that was ready to cry out to God. And she was what? A prostitute woman. You think she was in that condition because she wanted to be? No, she was forced into that occupation because of the economy. Remember when Andrew told me about Rahab? And Rahab was sold into prostitution by her parents at the age of 10. She was in prostitution for 23 years. How messed up would her mind have been? Because they're living right in a trading port and all kinds of nationalities coming. My goodness. But when those two angels come, when those two spies come into Rahab's house and she had no way of getting out of the system, she was locked in a system. No way out. But when those two spies came, they said to her, put that token. What's a token? A type of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put it out your window. And when we see that token, glory, the death angel will pass by you. But he said to them, get all your loved ones under that token sign. Get everybody in your loved ones under the blood of Jesus. That's what we should have been doing over the Christmas break. Glory. And what did she do? What did she say? She said, I need my father. The one that sold her into prostitution? Yeah. I need my father. I need my mother. I need my brothers. I need my sisters. Got them all under the token sign. Is that the love of God? Is that the love of God that casts out all fear? Is that the love of God that caused her to overcome the complexes that she must have had about her parents? Look what God can do. And he gave them practical ways to be able to practice the word. And then the love of God had to come up. This went beyond human love. That went beyond human faith. That broke into divine faith. And then she was able to save her household. What a move. What a way for those things to be able to take place by God's grace. Glory. But when the devil saw them without Jesus, and then he began to blow his poison breath at them. Now think about that, because that's what he does. And it comes, that poison breath comes in all forms, shapes and sizes. And a great storm swept down and the little ships just about to tip over. Back and forth, up and down, back and forth. The little boat become waterlogged. Is that life? Trees, can you come play that song, Storms of Life Will Blow? We got to be prepared for him. Amen. The mast pole blowed down. The oars broke. Whoo! That's about the crippled condition we are getting into. You know, this is why I want to talk to the group of the prayer of faith. Before you start up again, I want to have a little bit of fellowship with you. I want to bring you back into the fundamental foundations. I want to raise up the vision. Because what I see is sometimes we are compromising on our convictions. There's a clash between human faith and divine faith. Divine faith is a sacrifice. I'll share something with you that I was looking at as I was changing my activity. Does that mean I still don't wait on the Lord? No, I'm always waiting on the Lord. I'm down in my mara down there, and That's like a bomb down there. He began to blow his breath saying, "Phew, you belong to our organization or you don't belong to anything. We're the ones that's right. The rest of them is wrong. Segregate yourself." That's those, what did he call that? The breaths of Satan. That days of miracles is past. That divine healing, there's nothing to it. Oh, there's no such a thing as that. See, there, that's the poison breaths of Satan. Don't have nothing to do with him. He don't believe like we do. Satan don't believe like we do. There's only one faith. That's the faith of God. That's God's faith. Your human faith don't go very far. And that's what I think sometimes takes place. When we pray, it's human faith. We got to break into that divine faith again. But God's faith in you makes you love. God's faith in you makes you love. And then love gives you the right motive, the right objective. Then you can fellowship with God. Not with your feelings and your emotions. Not begging God, "Oh Lord, do this for me, do that for me." No, you can fellowship with him through love. That's God's faith in you. That's what God's faith does, is makes you have the same feeling that Jesus did. Because the Spirit of Christ is in you. Look what he'd done. And he's talking about faith. He climbed the highest hill there was in Palestine. He's just taking this faith a little bit further. Because he's not only teaching it, he's living it. This is why, saints, I can't just teach it, I gotta live it. The husbandman must be first partaker of the fruit. You know what my mother is going to produce? 100-fold. Not 10-fold. Not 50-fold, 100-fold. I had Sasha go through and count how many watermelons that she saw in one little skinny patch, maybe from that wall to this wall. Well, that's not little, I suppose. How many did you count, Sasha? Can you remember? 43 in that little area. Eh? Because why? I got to know how to live by faith. If I'm talking about producing naturally and having good kai, because I believe that the right kind of food has an effect on your hinengaro. Eh? Without hybrid food, it can set you in the right mind. I gotta live it. If I'm speaking to you about freeing, being free from the tentacles of mystery Babylon, if I'm trying to show you how to come out of her, my people, and be not partaker of her sins that you receive not of her plagues, I gotta live it. I gotta be able to, because this is what Jesus is doing. He's showing them. He's not just preaching perfect faith. He has to show how perfect faith operates. You see, saints, remember when I was telling you how blessed we are? He blesses us whether we're in the country or he blesses us in the city. Is that Deuteronomy chapter 28? He blesses us in our going out and he blesses us in our coming in. And the blessings go before us. And the blessings are so much that we have to get a storehouse. That's what I'm designing, brother. I'm designing a storehouse. I already got a spiritual storehouse. Amen. And I produce wheat in my spiritual storehouse. Amen. You know what kind of wheat? The wheat of the word. It never runs dry. Hallelujah. And it just keeps bubbling up and out. But I got to live that. And you got to know that. Because Jesus is not only teaching, he's living. Now watch what he says. Watch the way he lived it. He climbed the highest hill there was in Palestine. I'm still in Be Not Afraid, it is I. Got up on top of the hill so he could see all the way across the ocean to watch them. Is he always watching us? He always care. When he died at Calvary, he climbed the ramparts of Calvary till he kept on climbing on the Easter morning. Now this is what I love, because this is showing us how to break into those realms till he can't climb beyond the moon, stars and sun. What's that? That's our marmataka. Hey? That's how to use all of these signs and seasons to maximize our crop. Well, he climbed beyond the moon, stars, sun, until he could see from eternity into eternity. Now that's how you've got to get to, you that are gifted with fasting and prayer. You got to climb above the circumstance. You got to climb above the storm. You got to go above the moon, the stars, the sun. You got to break into that supernatural realm. You got to break into eternity. You got to break through the crust of humanity and come into perfect faith. How? Just go up and take it. It's that simple, saints. Glory. Until you can see from eternity into eternity. That's how I get a hold of scripture to come and share with you the word. To give you some direction for 2025. His eye is on the sparrow. And I know he's watching this meeting. He wants to see what we'll do. Amen. Is that what it takes, saints? Perfect love, perfect faith for perfect gifts. That's how we're starting 2025. Amen. And I want to see the fruit of perfect love, perfect faith in perfect gifts. But we need that perfect love first. Amen. Give me that song, The Storms of Life. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. I remember when Sister Helen wrote this song. Eh? Thank you, Lord. The storms of life will blow. You have to be prepared for them by doing what God tells us to do. We hear the word that strengthens us when the storms of life do come. Faith will arise to the occasion when the storms of life shake us. Let the anchor within the veil set to test your revelation, 'cause on the solid rock we stand. The storms of life will not shake us, because the anchor holds on the rock of revelation will stand. God wants mighty men of valor. You're here for mortal combat. You're God's mighty Gentile warriors when the storms are like to come. Just lift up your arms and praise God, for He has counted you worthy to stand for Him in this day. When the storms of life shake us, let the anchor hold within the veil. They're sent to test your revelation, 'cause on the solid rock we stand. The storms of life will not shake us, 'cause the anchor holds on the rock of revelation we'll stand. There's another storm that's raging, and his mouths are failing for fear. Fear is a chemical warfare. Perfect love will cast it out. Glory. Big faith is the spoken word. Peace be still. This is how to live a life without fear. When the storms of life shake us, let the anchor hold within the veil. They're sent to test your revelation, 'cause on the solid rock we stand. The storms of life will not shake us, because the anchor holds on the rock of revelation we'll stand. Storms of life over. You have to be prepared for them by doing what God tells us to do. We hear the word that strengthens us when the storms are like to come. Faith will arise to the occasion when the storms of life shake us. Let the anchor hold within the veil. Sent to test your revelation,
Cause on the solid rock we stand. The storms of life will not shake us, but the anchor holds. On the rock of revelation we'll stand.
On the rock of
revelation we'll stand.
Amen. Is that how we take every storm, saints? Praise the Lord. I want to sing that other song Sister Helen wrote for us, Lift Up the Hands of the Ministry. Now, I'm not talking about this ministry. You already lift that up. I'm talking about lifting up the hands of this ministry. I'm talking about lifting up the hands of the body ministry. That's what it takes. Lifting up the ministry of our rangatahi. Amen. Our tamariki. Lifting up those hands so that we can see a body operating in perfect love, perfect faith, for perfect gifts. Amen. You know that one, Tris? She knows them all, man. She knows them all.
We lift up the hands of the ministry. Grant them the channel of inspiration. A greater vision, a greater revelation. We lift up the hands of the ministry. A higher learning, a higher teaching, a higher economy,
strategies and objectives
through your word, or whatever it may be, we lift the hands of the ministry.
Glory. Whoa.
Or whatever it may be, we lift the hands of the ministry. We lift up the people who are dying
through
the ministry of the former age. False doctrines and creeds, bondage and fear, have inspired no fear,
no
revelation bondage. Oh Lord, liberate your ministers. Oh Lord, liberate your people. To be under the inspiration of your Holy Spirit
for your people.
Elevate their thinking, Lord. No more popularity, no more insecurity. Death to politics.
Glory.
Or whatever it may be,
we lift the hands of the ministry. Whoa, whoa.
Or whatever it may be, we lift the hands of the ministry.
We raise up
a gabbala. We raise up faith. We raise up the value of the word. The seven seal revelation on display. Oh, whatever it
it may be.
We
lift the hands of the ministry.
Glory. Whoa, whoa.
Oh, whatever it may be. We lift the hands of the ministry.
Glory. We raise up a gospel
of love. We raise up faith. We raise up the value of the word. Seven seal revelation on display. Oh, whatever it may be, we lift the hands of the ministry. Oh, whatever it may be, we lift the hands of the ministry.
Our gracious Lord, just feeling inspired, oh God, to open up this simple channel in your word and under preparation and expectation for things that are to be. Because I don't believe, Lord, this world is going to get any better. And it doesn't matter to me what the economic prophets are saying, what the government is saying. I see New Zealand in a recession. And this economy will come to a place, oh God, where money will fail. When people will be pushed off their whenua. Where they try and come and push us out of their homes, out of our homes. There'll be a market crash. This is what Ezekiel saw when he took the scroll and he ate the scroll. He saw the staff of bread being broken. He saw a housing market crash. He saw the economy so bad that they had to use human dung to cook their meals. Now that's the first thing he saw after he took the book and ate the book. So I know, Lord, that this world economy ain't going to get better in 2025. There'll be more trouble. There'll be more hunger. There'll be more suicides. There'll be more depression, more recession. But while all of those things are happening, Lord, I believe your people under the word will raise up into a faith economy, an economy of perfect love, perfect faith. Because, Father, when we don't have access to be able to buy or sell. I know that won't be fully implemented until the bride has already gone in the rapture. But we'll feel the tentacles of those things. And we want to make preparation as best as we can, Lord. So we pray that you continue to guide us and lead us. Be with us, Lord, whether it's in the boat or walking on the water. Be with us, Lord, to show us the practical aspects of how to turn the bread and the fish and multiply the resources so we can feed, oh God, the tangata from the whenua. Grant these things, Father, so that we can raise up into a place of perfect love and perfect faith. And others would be able to benefit from your goodness and your grace as you live your light out through us. Grant it, Father. May the word prepare us, O God, for the oncoming storms. Show us how to face them, Father. Help us to set our wings and fly. Glory! To soar up into those supernatural realms. To get out of this human faith into divine faith. To get us out of human love into God's own love. And then I believe there'll be such a liberty. There'll be an atmosphere created of perfect love. And then all of these supernatural things take place among us. That's what I'm looking forward to, Lord, is a far greater manifestation of all of these things. We love you, Lord. We thank you that we can start our new year with perfect love, perfect faith, and perfect gifts. And we look forward to the fruits that would come from the planting of the seed. We look forward to a crop that is a hundredfold. Hallelujah. Bless us now as we would fellowship together and lift you up in praise and worship. Father, I ask these things. Bless our brother Andrew and the fellowship, our precious brothers and sisters in the faith, in the ministry, Lord, and I pray that there'd be such a great unity of the faith, because we know it's not just sovereign church that's going in the rapture, it's a bride body. And help us to be prepared together. Help us, Lord, to love and help one another. I ask all of these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. What's your song, honey? The love of the truth. God bless you, saints. Praise the Lord.
And I give unto you that you love one another as I have loved you. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Washed with pure water,
the love of
the truth and the fellowship of the same. Let's consider one another,
welcome
to love and to good works. The love of the truth and the fellowship of the bride. Disconnect the panic button, access the resource. With full assurance, take, eat, and speak. Together by faith in the word. We have heard the sound of the trumpet from the watchman's tower.
To bear an arms in the time of need. The squeeze has arrived by the political and religious friends. Let us unite
together in the fellowship of the word. Let brotherly hearts in the lives of believers. Divine love is the capstone of our love. We must strengthen one another, encourage one another, exhort one another, provoke one another. Then I know we have work to do.
He has given us gifts, no matter what measures you have, to bring forth
fruit by the word in this hour.
To impart
eternal life
to all that could be an angel. Wax much deeper together like the eyes of men. Disconnect
the panic button, with the resource, with full assurance, take it and speak.
A new
commandment I give unto you. Let you love one another as I have loved you. Let us draw near with a true heart,
in full
assurance of faith, washed with pure water. Love the truth and the fellowship of the saints.
Let us consider
one another to provoke unto love and to good works. The love of the truth and the fellowship of the bride. Disconnect the banner button, access the resource with full assurance. Take, eat, and speak.
Last verse again.
A new commandment I give unto you,
that
you love one another as I have loved you. Let us draw near with a true heart,
in full
assurance of faith, washed with pure water.
The love of the
truth and the fellowship of the bread.
Let us warn
one another to provoke unto love, to good works. Love of the truth and the fellowship of the bride. Disconnect the panic button, access the resource with full assurance. Take heed and speak. Disconnect the panic button, access the resource with full assurance. Take heed and speak.
Glory. At the whole bit of fellowship.
More of you in our lives. And I will worship you with all of my. I will worship you with all of my.
brothers.
Coming of the Lord.